This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Your Cleveland Guardians off to a very nice start. I believe they're 14-8 in their last 22 games. They've won 5 of their last 6 series, or 4 of the last 5. Stats aren't really my thing. However, they're winning quite a many series. And to talk about the Gardos as they get ready to host the Phillies for the 3-game set, and then the Brewers after that for another 3-game set here in Cleveland. As you guys might have known, we do pick up somebody from the Guardians TV broadcast every week here on the show. And this week we've got the great Chris Jimenez on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thanks, boys. Thanks for having me on. I guess you're not the only one excited about the Browns, huh?
Oh, so wait, are you a Shador fan as well? Because my partner and you will become best friends if that happens.
I mean, at this point in the 5th round, I feel like, how could you not be a Shador fan? You know, what he has the ability to, I think, provide at a 5th round value. I mean, it stinks that it had to happen this way, but think about what could potentially be if he ends up, you know, turning into somebody who we feel like could be a franchise quarterback. You got a potentially the best steal of all time. And if it wasn't, okay, it's a 5th rounder, it's no big deal. Like, how many 5th rounders actually do pan out to be those types of players?
Speak to him, Chris. Now I forgot we even had you on for Guardians talk.
I know, right?
I wanted to do a follow-up. I'm like, so what about Shador do you love the most? And I agree with you. Just keep talking. No, let's talk Guardians a little bit here. Gavin Williams on the bump tonight. I get excited over Gavin. I think we all do. What have you seen in the early parts of the season? What can he do a little bit better to maybe get that ERA down?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, what he provides is a potential ace, truthfully. I mean, if you were to create a player, you know, it'd pretty much be the physique and type of stuff and velocity that Gavin Williams has. And I know his velocity has ticked up a little bit over a mile an hour from last year. It's very evident that he's healthy this year, but I think the lack of repetitions he got last year is starting to come into play a little bit, what you're seeing with this year. He just doesn't quite have the feel for the strike zone like we've seen him in the past, in particular is his rookie year, right? He came up like gangbusters, was fantastic, rookie of the year voting potential, and you started to think like, okay, we may have an absolute beast on our hands here, and I think we still do. I am not ready to give up on Gavin Williams. I don't think anybody is, to be honest with you, but I'll tell you what, he needs to trust his stuff in the strike zone. I mean, that's key number one. You get the fastball down in the strike zone. He's going to utilize the top part. That's fine. But to me, everything kind of stems off that fastball, establishing strike one early, and then using your breaking stuff off of it. That's when he's been very successful in the past. And I think it's just getting him to feel confident and comfortable with that in his strike zone. Then it starts to go from there.
Chris, I got to tell you, the Class A thing's wildly interesting, not just to me, but to everybody, just because there's so many layers to it about, you know, is it stuff-related, is it mental? So from the catcher side of things, is there something that Bo or Austin can do to help, or is this between Emmanuel and himself and the coaching staff?
Believe it or not, I think it's probably a little bit of both. I mean, I've seen, you know, things like this happen before, maybe not to somebody of Class A's ilk per se, but if you ask me, I noticed this in the playoffs last year. I said it, you know, not necessarily publicly, but to anybody that would listen at home, that he kind of changed the way he was attacking hitters. And it's funny because Fangraphs actually just came out with a big article yesterday kind of talking about this exact thing, that I don't know if the playoffs got to him, if it was, you know, some of the numbers that somebody got to him that said, you know, please trying to stop throw the ball into a lot of these right-handed hitters that he was facing during the playoffs. But that's what he did all of last year. He made guys really uncomfortable on that inside part of the plate to righties, away to lefties. And when you can control 99 to 103 when he's foaming at the mouth, and that ball's got as much horizontal run as it does, it's impossible to hit, number one. Number two, talk about making you as uncomfortable as you could possibly be. That puts something in the back of your head as a hitter that's like, I can't dig in here. I don't know where this thing's going, even though he's got pretty darn good control of it, or he did last year. But then once the playoffs started, you started to see him use that glove side part of the plate down and away. That's not necessarily a pitch that he can control, in my opinion, to maybe what he was hoping to, right? Like, everything that he throws works off of that same arm slot as that front door cutter to right-handed hitters. The breaking ball plays off of that. And then, of course, he can throw the ball to the other side of the plate. But when you're trying to establish that, you completely lose the feel for that pitch that's arm side. And I think that, to me, has been the biggest detriment that I've seen from him, is he just stopped utilizing that arm side part of the plate. And I think that's an easy thing for him to get back. He's just got to trust his stuff there. And again, it's hard to sit here and say, how could a guy that throws 103 not trust his stuff? But we've all seen him pitch, and we've seen, you know, that look in his face that he just didn't quite have that same feel. And I think eventually he's going to get it back. And when he does, it's going to be a big reason, because he's pounding that thing on the inside part of the plate.
Chris, for the second straight season, the Guardians are outperforming the expectations that people had on him. This year is a little bit different in that a lot of people are pointing just to the weak schedule the Guardians have played, and they're pointing to the run differential not being nearly what it should be for a team that at this point is 7 games over .500. How do you explain? You've been on enough good teams. How do you explain when a team gets off to this type of start and now for the second straight year seems like they are outperforming the expectations?
Yeah, I think, you know, part of that is you start to just completely not pay attention to what some of the people are saying, first and foremost, because, you know, I get it. The schedule is what it is, but you can't, you know, change that. That's something that every team has to play, the schedule that was given to them. It just so happens that it's been a benefit to the Guardians early, and that's probably helped them win a few games, if we're being honest with it. But to me, that's how you get on a roll, truthfully. You start to gain confidence. You're beating the teams that you should be beating. And the next thing you know, when you do have a series come up, like this one that they're going to be playing on, you know, this weekend and next week for that matter, you start to have enough confidence that you feel like you can win no matter who's on the mound, no matter what team's in town. And that's when things start to roll. That's what we saw last year. You know, in my opinion, was they started to gain that confidence. And the next thing you know, they took it from there all the way to the American League Championship Series. I also think with that American League Championship Series, they feel like there's a little unfinished business, and they kind of like that underdog mentality. And they kind of like the fact that, you know, maybe people picked Kansas City and Detroit ahead of them this year. It's still early enough in the season that they're going to get this thing figured out. I mean, they don't have it wrong by any means, but they start to garner that confidence. And I think this weekend goes a long way for that. Not that if they get swept or if they lose the series, it's the end all be all. But if you see the Guardians take this series from the Philadelphia Phillies, who in my opinion are a top five team in the league right now, I think you're going to hear maybe a little bit more positive news about our Guardians.
Chris Jimenez, Guardians TV analyst, former Cleveland Indian on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I have been a believer in Gabe Arias. He's just one of those dudes that when you watch him hit, it does look different when that guy swings the bat.
Sure.
And so the results haven't been there till this year. Now, a lot of the results look great, except he does have only 8 walks this season. If I had to take down like a 1 to 10 scale, how certain are you that this Gabe...
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, seriously researched, hard-hitting history podcast told through entertaining stories. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Arias is here to stay.
I'm going to say a six because I really, really, really want to see this guy stay. He is the most talented player on the field 9 times out of 10. We just played the Yankees. Aaron Judge was more talented than Gabby Arias. Other than that, there's not many players in Major League Baseball that have the kind of raw talent that Gabby has. And I think, you know, you look at the way his career path has gone, it's been obviously extremely up and down. He's been, you know, talked about as not being a hard worker. He was actually sent down last year when we were in Toronto. And I think a lot of those, you know, mistakes that he's made in the past, he's starting to learn from. And at least I certainly hope so. But I talked to Stephen Vogt this year in spring training, and he said the only thing that Gabby Arias hasn't been told in his life is that he's the guy, that you're going to go out there every single day and be the guy. And they were kind of hoping that that messaging was going to help, you know, take the weight of the world off of his shoulders and just allow him to go out there and utilize that supreme talent that he has. And I think we're starting to see that really shine through. He's gaining a lot of confidence. He's doing some really, really good things, both at second base, at shortstop. I mean, he can play anywhere on the field if you really needed him to. But I think what we're going to see is a kid that, you know, still has maybe a little bit of growing pains in regards to some of his swing decisions. But as he continues to garner that experience, that's only going to get better and better and better. I don't know if we'll ever see him walk, you know, at like a 10 or a 12% clip. There's some swing and miss in his game. But boy, if he connects, it's a tantalizing thought to have. I mean, we're talking about MVP-type qualities that this kid has from a skill standpoint. And man, how could you not want that to get an opportunity to play every day?
What's been your favorite part through 40 games? Maybe a surprise, maybe a player, maybe a group, maybe anything in between?
I mean, that's a great question, to be honest. And I think one of my favorite things is this team has not yet been whole at any point, and they're still, you know, holding on strong. They're doing as well as they have. To me, that means there's a lot left in the tank. You know, we're going to get Shane Bieber back at some point. We're going to get Trevor Stephan back at some point. Heck, we've only played like 12 games with Lane Thomas, who was the major acquisition for this team last year and a huge point, you know, to this offense clicking on all cylinders this year. So I love the fact that we've continued to beat the teams that we're supposed to beat, even without being at full strength. Because to me, yes, it's still early enough in the year that if you were to, you know, find yourself 4 or 5 games back, you could still make that up in no time. But you're starting to see this team maybe get a little bit healthier and get a little bit more confidence, and then they start to get on that roll.
So with that, Chris, I really loved – it's funny, the stats don't match up with Angel Martinez last year, kind of similar to Gabby Arias, where I watched a kid hit, and I'm like, that's just such a sweet stroke. How close is he to being an everyday major leaguer, or has that already happened?
I think we're seeing it happen right before our eyes, guys, to be completely honest with you. You know, this is a kid that obviously didn't make the team out of spring training, and, you know, I think there were some, you know, like procedural standpoints that maybe played into that with some guys being out of options and stuff, and that's kind of how it works at times. But with that being said, he's gotten his opportunity, and boy, is he not taking every bit of advantage of it. He's been a premier hitter. He's continued to give you a quality at-bat, and he's played a pretty darn good center field, to be completely honest. And that's not a natural position for him. He's still kind of learning this on the fly. And I mean, I've seen him get great reads out there, be fearless, you know, not be afraid to sell out, make mistakes if he needs to, in the right way, I mean. But I think we're starting to see this player really come into his own. And again, to me, it's all about confidence. When you get a young player that finds himself starting to gain some of that confidence, the sky's the limit. And I think we're seeing that kind of happen too, again, right before our eyes with Angel Martinez.
Chris, great stuff, man. Really appreciate your time. JP appreciates the Shador love.
Always.
Any shalove. We'll get some shalove from JP there. Really good stuff, buddy, and have a great weekend.
Thank you. You guys, too.
Chris Jimenez there on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I'm not saying this because he was just on there. Quickly becoming one of my favorite baseball analysts in town.
No question.
Because, one, he comes on the show. But, two, no, Chris also gives, like, he's not afraid to say, like, hey, I'm not all the way there yet. Like, with the Gabby Arias, I think that's a great answer. Like, I think 6 out of 10 is exactly where I am with Gabby Arias. I am so close to just being like, this dude's it. But that, you just can't, because there are still those swing and miss moments where you're like, okay, that was just a plain bat at bat.
He's just a really good, the analysis is obviously top notch, but his presentation of it all, and the fact that he reads fan graphs, Nick, can't hate that.
I mean, what more could we want?
Can't hate that.
We are going to have the Kevin Stefanski press conference, but the shalov we saw out there didn't just extend to Browns media at Browns minicamp. That's coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.